The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
The reality for a lot of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. Here's the good thing though. Around the country, there are so many cities with affordable investment properties, some even under 100,000, so there's a lot of opportunity out there. On September 20th, I'm starting a four-week virtual intensive workshop that'll show you how to buy your first out-of-state property. So we're gonna go over everything from creatively financing that first property, how to build your team that you can trust, how to find and analyze properties, and how to find the right location, and so much more. You deserve to build wealth for your family. You deserve to invest in real estate. It's simply a matter of getting the right information. So I want to see you there. If you're interested, go to outofstatemoney.com/workshop or click the link in the description of this episode. I'll see you there.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight. And today features episode 164 with Jason Parker. Jason and his squad were able to buy 150 units. And what's so dope is that it all started with one single family property. So this is a story about how they were able to scale from single family properties up to apartment buildings. And so let's get into it. 164. Let's get into it.
When I first spoke to you, you know, you were asking me, you know, what am I doing with the real estate and things like that. And I told you, yeah, you know, single family homes. And you told me, like, in the first call, like, you need to scale up.
Yeah.
Like, you need to look at small apartments.
Yeah.
So talk about that, because there are some investors who, you know, you get a single family home, maybe you get one a year and you just go up that way. Talk to us about that.
Well, that's how we progressed. But what we ultimately realized, like every single business owner realized, is that successful business is a numbers game. McDonald's doesn't sell one hamburger. Starbucks doesn't sell one cup of coffee. It's scale, and it's no different in real estate. You get to seeing that you are going to make an average of typically $150 to $250 per door in most normal geographic locations. So why not get more and more doors? Not only is the scale provide you with security in the standpoint of the I call it the protection in the collection, because the numbers protect one, the units protect one another, meaning if you have a vacancy, you still have income coming in. But it also provides you with systems, because now all of a sudden I just need one handyman to change out all these locks, to change out all these fixtures. I'm not sending people around to random single family homes. And so there's so much power in the ability to scale. But so often, according to your point, many real estate investors don't take advantage of that. They get the one property, maybe two, maybe three. And what they're robbing themselves is the opportunity to really build a business that does become passive in nature, because the scale creates so much, not only success, but momentum.
Definitely, definitely. Appreciate you diving in. So you mentioned initially getting single family homes. Were these in Tulsa?
Yes, we've been pretty much primarily in Tulsa and what I call the tertiary market surrounding Tulsa. Mm-hmm. So anywhere within an hour of the Metroplex.
Got you. So talk to us about those beginnings, you know, getting those single family homes and starting to gain that momentum, because it sounds like you spent the 6 months studying and then, you know, slowly but surely you started to build up your confidence, build up your single family home. So talk to us about that stage.
Well, prior to the challenge that really got us going, while I was playing professionally, my dad had the idea to start off with a fix and flip business. And we started that right around 07. And by 08, we had our first properties that were built out. Well, 08, the market tanked, as we all know, and it was just terrible. Like, we couldn't sell anything. And so unbeknownst to us, that was the beginning of our buy and hold journey, because we pretty much transitioned those properties into buy and hold rentals where we just started renting them out. Well, over the course of this 6, 7, 8 year odyssey, we got to realizing that, hey, this is actually a good little business structure. So fast forward, I get the challenge from the banker and I'm like, well, we kind of already know this buy and hold real estate game. So we pretty much dove headfirst into that. We bought our first home with our own money, paid for it completely cash. And we realized that that was a huge mistake, because you cannot scale that way and you're quickly out of capital, which is basically your growth serum. And so with no fuel to move forward, we went to the bank and said, hey, we've had success now with these one or two properties. How do we move forward? And the bank pretty much started to show us a litany of different programs that they have that allowed us to move forward and purchase more properties with very small amounts of capital.
If you're someone who lives in an area where it's so expensive to buy real estate and you feel like it's impossible, then I have something for you. I just released a free guide that's going to give you the 8 steps you need to take to buy your first out-of-state property. I bought several properties out-of-state, living in California, investing in Ohio, and you could do the same. It's just a matter of having the right information. So click the link in the description of this episode to get your free guide today.
And so doing that year after year over the course of 3 to 4 years, again, we're like, we come to the next threshold in our business and it's, how do we grow even faster? And that's when we stumbled upon small apartments. And so we pretty much started investing in units, in complexes with units between 2 and 20 properties. And all of a sudden doing that, you know, buying a complex every 6 months, you know, whether it was a 10 unit or a 20 unit, it just pretty much took us from having $2 to $3 million worth of real estate to over 10, essentially overnight, what it seems like at this point.
Definitely. You talked about some of those loan programs that were able to help you, where you were able to buy properties without as much income. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about like 10%, 15% down, or?
Actually 0% down. These were homes where these were programs where if you were able to find the distressed asset and the distressed asset was 25% market value, that basically counted as your down payment. So if it was a $100,000 home, if you could cover all the repairs and the purchase price in less than $75,000, the bank would cover all the repair costs and you basically didn't have to bring any money down. Wow. And so we really jumped in 10 toes down on this program and started to do the research, do the legwork to find these properties without basically having any money out of pocket.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And that's one of the things we teach now in our system, mm-hmm. is that you have to constantly be calling banks. It should be a regular routine task within your business, because you never know what you're going to find.
Definitely. How do you recommend people go about reaching out to banks? Like, some people say you should use small local banks. Some people have other opinions. You know, if someone wants to know what type of banks they should look at, what they should ask, like, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, we have a whole system that's laid out with the specific questions to ask bankers, so you get the most bang for your buck. We actually teach people how to schedule throughout their month where they're regularly connecting with not only bankers, but also brokers and contractors, which are the three gatekeepers to the real estate game. And so if you're constantly building these networks out, you're going to have the opportunity to win in a major way. But to answer your question specifically, as it relates to banks, local banks are going to always have more flexibility because they're heavily invested in the locale or the geographic location. And so But what was unbeknownst to us was that local banks actually have a huge spectrum on what they can offer. So while Bank A may be able to give you 25% down, or you only have to bring 25% down, Bank B may say you only have to bring 15% down. Or Bank C may say, we need these 10 items before you can work with us. And Bank D may say, we only need one thing for you to get started, and we're ready to go tomorrow. So there's a lot of different things that will be more palatable to your specific situation. That's why you've got to make it a point of emphasis to always be making those calls.
Definitely, definitely. So you alluded to it earlier, like a turning point where you realize, you and your wife realize, all right, we've been getting the single family homes, it's been going well, but how do we grow larger? And you mentioned targeting 2 to 20 units. And so can you talk about, just from a strategy perspective, you know, what did that look like? Because, you know, if you're looking at maybe 8 to 10 units, it's a little bit different than if you're looking at a single family home, just as far as like what you're calculating, what you're looking for. So can you speak a little about that?
Yes,
just like the shift you had to make.
Well, first of all, as what often happens, life happens, right? Which causes us to have to make a shift. Part of the reason we made that shift was not only because of our ambition to want to grow, but also because that program that I mentioned earlier ended, essentially. So we no longer were able to take advantage of getting properties with no money down. So we were like, what is our next step? We knew we were having success, but we wanted it on a higher level. And that's when we made the decision, let's start looking into multifamily. Well, we didn't know how to do it. We didn't, first of all, have the capital to do it. And so, again, it was through this process of calling banks and virtually learning what the process was. And what we ended up embarking upon was we were able to refinance all of the properties, which I think we had about 25 units at the time. We refinanced, took a major chunk out, and then we went hunting for larger properties. And we were able to get our first 30-unit property in December of 2020, which was a million-dollar purchase through our refinance. And so we pretty much learned the game, and we've been washing and repeating ever since.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.